Day festival. Today we are going to discuss a very important topic which is befitting the occasion. Today is the one of the most important days for devotees in ISKCON. Any guesses? What is it today? Srila Prabhupada arrived in the United States of America on this day. So this day has become very special for those who are sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada. So on this occasion we'll discuss how Srila Prabhupada entered USA. This is a very vast subject, and I'm not sure if we'll be able to discuss the subject matter fully, but whatever little we can discuss for the purification of our own heart and for the pleasure of their lordships, Sri Shraddha Gopinath, will glorify their purest devotee, Srila Prabhupada, who so mercifully traveled across the ocean, left the shores of India, following the order of his spiritual master, to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. If we see Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, especially till he established ISKCON in 1966. If you see his pastimes from 1896 when he appeared in this world till 1966, it is simply setbacks, one setback after another. So if somebody wants to study the subject matter on failures as stepping stone to success, then the most inspiring example will be Srila Prabhupada, whose life was nothing but one failure or one setback after another. His business collapsed 5 times. He made major investments, and each time, sometimes initial success, but eventually failure. And the institutional support also, the institution founded by spiritual master eventually broke apart because of politics and fights. So that shelter also was not there. Financial support was not there. Family life slowly crumbled. So eventually, if you see, Srila Prabhupada's failures and setbacks were many. A normal person will not be able to handle. But Srila Prabhupada displayed unflinching faith in the order of his spiritual master, which is unprecedented and it is unfathomable by us. So we'll discuss how even after coming to USA, it was not a easy, smooth. It's not that people were waiting with garlands and America, pure devotee has come, you know, now ISKCON will start. No, it was again failures after failures. So therefore we'll understand what are these challenges that Srila Prabhupada faced today. For a few minutes we'll discuss. And through this we'll increase our appreciation and meditation on how we are so fortunate that we have been given this gift of Krishna consciousness by a person who had to go through so much difficulty to give us Krishna consciousness, and we have got it so easily. And many times we take it for granted. Prasanga majaram pasham kavayo atmano vidu saeva sadusho kruto moksha dwaram apavrutam. Lord Kapila Dev tells his mother Devahuti that material attachment is very painful. It is like a pasha of an ajara. It is like a python's noose. It only causes unlimited suffering. And this is declared by kavayo atmano vidu, by most intelligent people. But at the same time, saeva sadusho kruto, if we can develop that same intensity of attachment to Krishna's pure devotees, moksha dwaram apavrutam, it will open the doors of liberation. So we are very fortunate that by hearing about Srila Prabhupada, by reading Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, we can develop this attachment to Srila Prabhupada. And then an eternal life is guaranteed. So we are entering this pastime now when Srila Prabhupada has got a free ticket on a Sindhya steamship company owned by Mrs. Sumati Morarji, who is a very pious Gujarati lady, and she had already sponsored Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam sets, first volume. And she had, for that sponsor, Srila Prabhupada had to wait 5 hours outside her office. And he was so patient and perseverant. And finally she sponsored his Bhagavatam. She encouraged Srila Prabhupada. And when he finally proposed a plan to go to the America, and when he told her that he wants to go and all his papers are ready, she said, "Swamiji will not be able to bear America. You are very old. You are 70 years old. How can you go there? It will be too much for you." In fact, she told him he will die. Srila Prabhupada dismissed it as a foolish rumor. He said, "No, nothing. Don't worry. You just give me a free passage on your cargo ship." So finally she agreed. She saw his determination and she agreed and she gave him a ticket. So now he is all set to leave. Now he has been meditating, Srila Prabhupada has been meditating on this journey to America for last 43 years. In the sense, he was thinking of how to spread Krishna consciousness since 1922 when his spiritual master ordered him. Finally he is going. Now what we are going to discuss briefly for the next few minutes is how what Srila Prabhupada is now embarking upon is logically and materially the most foolish thing to do. We'll use material calculation to understand how what Srila Prabhupada was doing was very foolish, because it is impossible. What Srila Prabhupada is planning to achieve is impossible by material logical explanation. And this only leads us to the conclusion that this is the desire, strong desire of a pure devotee to glorify Krishna. There is no other explanation for this. Krishna's reciprocation with the desires of his pure devotee is the only explanation for the way Krishna consciousness was established. So we have to understand the circumstances in which Krishna consciousness was established. So logically and materially there are many reasons, more than 10 reasons, to understand how this cannot happen. What Srila Prabhupada is planning to do cannot happen. First is, externally if you see, Srila Prabhupada has only faced failures. And now he is embarking upon the most ambitious project of all time. It's not that in India he already established many centers and everything is established. Now he is planning to go to America. So this is the first reason which really amazed me. His business collapsed. His preaching also was not successful in India. Finally, one actual success was about to come. He was about to get a chance to go to Japan. And Dr. Nakano was corresponding with him. Finally, everything was set. Only one ticket he couldn't arrange. He didn't have even that much Lakshmi that he could not even arrange. One ticket, one passage to Japan. That was his struggle. So that also couldn't happen. And back to Godhead magazine, he was distributing in the streets of New Delhi. People ridiculing him, challenging him. Once he fell unconscious in the streets of New Delhi in the summer of, you know how hot it is in the summer. He got a stroke and he fell. And some person was going in the car, recognized Srila Prabhupada. He got off the car and took Srila Prabhupada. So many difficulties. He would not even have breakfast. He would go to the printer and the printer would ask him, "So Swamiji, have you taken any breakfast?" He had not eaten anything in the night, he had not eaten anything in the breakfast also. Srila Prabhupada would say, no, let this get completed first. So that person would realize that he has not eaten anything, and then he would arrange some juice and some food like that. So Srila Prabhupada was very focused, but he was not getting material success. And now he is planning to go to America to establish Krishna consciousness. This is amazing. So there's an elderly, old Swami who is going to America on a very vaguely defined mission. Now the first reason, the second reason why it's externally, you have to understand, this is not logical, is Srila Prabhupada has no prior knowledge about America when he's going to America. If you are going to preach in a place, you need to know what that country, what are those people likes, dislikes. Srila Prabhupada himself admitted that he had no knowledge about America. So much so that first time when he saw snowfall, in the morning when he got up and he saw in the night there was a snowfall and but he didn't realize it was a snowfall. He saw that all the buildings have been painted white. He was wondering, what is this? So first of all, no knowledge about America. Sometimes some people, you know, they may go to a place even though they have had failures, even though they don't have any knowledge about that place. But still they may go if there is some base or support there. Like when we go for preaching, we know that there is some base, voice. We just have to go. Already everything is arranged. We just have to give lecture, meet people, come back. There is some support, some base, something already is established. So we go there. But Srila Prabhupada is going to America. It's not that there was some big support system or some centers of Gaudiya Math. No, nothing was there. No support. Okay, sometimes you may not have any support also. You may not have knowledge about a place. But if you have one thing, then you can go any place. What is that? Money. Like many missionaries, they go to different places. They may not have support, but they have money, so they can do so many things. Now, Srila Prabhupada, what money he had? He says he had enough money that was enough for spending only for a few hours in America. In a few hours, that money could be over. That much money he had carried with him. And that also, incidentally, he didn't spend it in America. He bought it back, that rupees, when he came in 1969, when he came to 68, when he came to India from San Francisco, when he came, he bought that money with him. And he used that money to go from New Delhi to Chippewada by taxi. That same money, 40 rupees. So he had no money, no support, no knowledge about America. Okay, if all this is not there, still it is okay. Still you can go to a new place and preach. If you at least have a clear plan of action. Srila Prabhupada admitted he didn't have a plan of action. He didn't say that first I will do journey of self-discovery course, then follow-up course, or first I will do stress management course. We have all these strategies we make. So this is a very important point. Preaching, we have so much of strategies. We make so much plans. We have so many meetings. When we are preaching, and I am preaching in one place, and we meet every week, so much meetings. And then when we read Lilamrit, we see, amazing! Srila Prabhupada didn't have all these plans. You know, first I'll go to Boston, then I'll go to New York, then I'll do this, then I'll do that. And then Srila Prabhupada also, he admitted that he would move about aimlessly on the streets of New York, not knowing what is going to happen. And if all this is not sufficient reason to understand how this is, what is happening is inconceivable, the most amazing thing is, where did Srila Prabhupada live when he went to America? He lived in Bowery. And there also, where these artists and hippies would stay. And he rented a storefront, which is the most horrible place in America. It is like, you can imagine one of the worst areas in Mumbai, where there are prostitutes, drug lords, and you know, crazy homeless people wandering about. Imagine somebody living in that place and starting a worldwide spiritual movement. So where Prabhupada lived also makes it highly improbable for Krishna consciousness to spread all over the world. And okay, if this is not sufficient, we have to also understand the time in which Srila Prabhupada was planning to spread Krishna consciousness. This was the 1960s, the drug and counterculture movement. This was a movement of when everybody was going against the established cultural norms, and there was a lot of emphasis on drug addiction. So much so that even now, 45, 50 years almost, people still think ISKCON means drug. You know, some people think that, you know, there is some drugs being sold here and all that. So it was such an impact of the 1960s. This was the age of, it is a very important period in the history of the 20th century. That 1960s was a time when a lot of upheavals are happening on the social scene. And that time Srila Prabhupada goes there. And where does he establish this? In the heart of 1960, which is New York, there in Bowery. And this is so improbable. You know, what Srila Prabhupada is doing is like, it's like there is a cyclone going on, and in the middle of that cyclone, you make a house. or you make a or a tsunami wave is coming and there you stand and you build something. What it's like huge cyclone of material energy is, you know, destroying everything, and in that Srila Prabhupada is building a house where the whole world can live by establishing ISKCON. Should understand the time, the circumstances, the place in which Srila Prabhupada was presenting this most sublime gift of Krishna consciousness. And if this is all not sufficient, what is most amazing is what was Srila Prabhupada presenting in this period of time, place and circumstances. He is preaching exactly opposite of what the social scene was at that time. He is preaching sexual restraint. He is preaching people to abstain from drugs. And he is preaching purity of mind. And he is preaching, most importantly, devotion to Krishna. So we should understand, he is not giving indirect, you know, we have so many seminars, making of a corporate athlete, we go and give this seminar in colleges. Or stress management. He didn't give such kind of seminars. Direct Krishna consciousness he was giving. I remember in some colleges we're not allowed. So we go with the title of stress management. So they allow us. And then we give lecture. And first we speak here and there, definition of stress and symptoms of stress. Finally we come. And the best example of stress, first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna. We give Arjuna's symptoms. And then we say, what is the solution? Chant Hare Krishna. So like that, indirectly we have to go around, beat around the bush, finally we give this. And finally when you get response sheet, so many people say we liked and all that. And three or four smart people in that audience, they write in the response sheet, we know your agenda was to give Hare Krishna only. But you told the stress management. So when we read the response sheet, you know, we smile. We say, okay, this person is actually intelligent. He knows our intention. He knows that we actually wanted to give Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada is not doing all that. He was presenting wonderful Krishna, just as he was presenting the message as it is, in such a crazy, mad atmosphere. And the best part is, to whom was he preaching all this to? Was it that there was some Gujarati society or Indian society in New York to whom he was giving lectures? He was preaching to young boys and girls who had two sutras and two mantras in their life. Srila Prabhupada had Mahamantra, and these people also had two mantras. One mantra was, do your own thing. That was their mantra. Do your own thing. What you feel like, just do it. If you feel like enjoying, enjoy. To tell them, follow discipline. Follow the process. Follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Even to them, if Srila Prabhupada had prevented Raganuga, just spontaneous Sahajiya type, that also is understandable. But to them, Srila Prabhupada is saying, follow this system, process. And the second mantra these hippies had was, do not trust anyone who is above 30 years of age. And what was Srila Prabhupada's age when he went to America? It was more than double. It was 70. So, this is the background. And who is Swamiji? Who is Srila Prabhupada who is going there? He is an orthodox, traditional Vaishnava from a very nice cultured family, born in not even the 20th century, he was in the 19th century. 1896 he was born. You know? And in the 20th century he is going there. So he is from a previous century actually, in one sense. So it's a traditional Vaishnava from a religious family, cultured family, and here is this old gentleman, sadhu, sannyasi coming to this kind of environment to preach this message. And what happens then is a remarkable story of faith, devotion and success, which is beyond human comprehension and human explanation. You cannot explain this. In fact, we should not be surprised if after some decades, maybe after our lifetime, it is highly probable that people will read Srila Prabhupada's pastimes and Srila Prabhupada's life, many people, with shock and skepticism. They may think this is mythology. Now we know it is true because we have evidences, we have books, and we have, you know, it's. But just like nowadays, some people are very skeptical. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he could have gone to Jharkhand forest and made elephants and tigers and, you know, snakes dance and chant? Sometimes people think, actually, hua tha kya aisa? It has happened. It's historical. It's recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu made tigers and deers embrace each other. That was the power of chanting of Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's potency, some people suspect. Oh, could it have happened? It happened. Prabhupada said it happened only recently, 500 years ago. Still people think it is mythology. So another few years down the line, people may think, Srila Prabhupada made such animal kind of people. These people are like animals actually, living in New York, Bowery at that time. They were like animals, loitering on the street, living in the gutter. And such animal kind of people, Srila Prabhupada made them chant and dance and follow purely Krishna conscious principles? This is impossible to believe. Given the circumstances in which Srila Prabhupada went, it could be, you know, it's possible that skeptics will find it too shocking. Therefore, we have to take these words very seriously of one Dr. Thomas Hopkins, who is a very famous scholar in America. So he made a historical report on the way ISKCON started. And he writes a very nice statement. He says, Srila Prabhupada's life and establishing of Krishna consciousness and coming to America and the way he did it proves. He is not a Hare Krishna devotee, huh? Dr. Thomas Hopkins. He is an American research scholar, and he says, Srila Prabhupada's life proves that there is a spiritual power that cannot be pinned down with logic. And he says, even all books in this world cannot completely answer this question, how this happened. This is God's power. Therefore, life of Srila Prabhupada is a tangible proof of our spiritual reality. This scholar writes that, life of Srila Prabhupada is a tangible proof of a spiritual reality. That there is some reality which is beyond our comprehension. He admits this. And second, he says, this is also proof of love of God. If somebody has love of God, what can happen with this? So this is the way, this is the background, or this is the foundation of Srila Prabhupada's success. This is Krishna's power. And who was this person who was behind? The secret of how it happened is revealed in Srila Prabhupada's journey to America. He leaves India on a very inauspicious day according to Christian calendar. He is going to America. It is 13th date, 13th of August, Friday the 13th. And he leaves in 1965, and 13th, and the 14th day is problems start. He has seasickness, vomiting, fever, and there's a lot of rain on the journey, and more sickness. Finally, on the 19th, after a few days from Calcutta, he comes to Colombo. From Colombo, then the next day is Janmashtami, and the ship, Srila Prabhupada prepares a feast, gives a class on Krishna's pastimes to the ship people. Captain Pandey is also there, and his wife, so they are also recipients of Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada cooks a nice feast for them. And 21st is next day, is Srila Prabhupada's birthday. Quietly, he just chants, he does his spiritual activities. And then from Colombo, from Calcutta, it has come to Colombo. Now ship is entering Arabian Sea. And as this Jalduta, the ship, enters Arabian Sea, Srila Prabhupada's health goes from bad to worse. He starts getting intense chest pain and recurring heart attacks. He just tolerates. And the pain is intense. And as this pain is happening, he is focusing on two things. He just tries to understand, what is my mission in life? What is the purpose of my going? What do I really want? And second thing, he intensely remembers Krishna. He prays to Krishna. And as he's praying to Krishna and he's sleeping in that chest pain, he gets a dream. Srila Prabhupada actually experiences a vision where Lord Krishna comes on a boat in his beautiful dress, yellowish dress and beautiful garments and jewelry and peacock feather. Krishna is rowing this boat and he looks at Srila Prabhupada and says, "Do not fear, just come along." And he holds Srila Prabhupada by hand and takes him on his boat. And then Srila Prabhupada wakes up from that vision and he sees there is no pain. And then the ship continues. They go through the Atlantic. But now he has a different kind of pain. He feels intense pain of separation, spiritual pain. He starts remembering Vrindavan. Because he's leaving a wonder, even externally wonderful Krishna conscious atmosphere to go to an unknown land. So he's feeling separation. Oh, I'm leaving Bharat Bhumi. I'm leaving Vrindavan. And he starts writing his diary. He says, "My only solace and relief is Chaitanya Charitamrita." He says, "I have no qualification to do this service, but I'm completely dependent on Krishna's mercy." And he starts writing a diary, and there he says, "Today I have disclosed my mind to my companion and dear friend." Who is Prabhupada's companion and dear friend? Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada would offer intense prayers. And then Atlantic Ocean is very smooth. Actually, Atlantic Ocean had been rough. If the weather had been rough during that period, Srila Prabhupada's health would have worsened. But now, because Krishna has taken charge of the ship, because he himself came and assured, it becomes very smooth. Like when Vasudeva was carrying Krishna, you know, Yamuna made way, everything, all obstacles were removed. So when Srila Prabhupada was going through this Atlantic Ocean, he was carrying Krishna. He was carrying Krishna's message. And Srila Prabhupada recognizes this, and Srila Prabhupada writes in his diary, "Krishna has taken charge of the ship, I can see." He has taken complete charge. And there he writes he writes a beautiful bhajan song. It's outpouring of the heart. Krishna taba punya habe bhai. And there he reveals his intimate relationship with Krishna. Now this was not written for public consumption. This was not written to show the world that he has love for Krishna. This was written in his personal diary and it was kept in his trunk and his disciples discovered it years later. So Srila Prabhupada had written, it was his heart's outpouring. And in that song he writes, "How I am going only because the order of my spiritual master." And he says, "All this will happen because of the desire of my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati, Sachi Suta Priya Hati, Krishna Sebaya Jara Tula Naya, Sei Se Mohanta Guru, Jagat Tera Madehuru, Krishna Bhakti Deita Aita." My Guru Maharaj wants Krishna to be given to everyone, and that's why I'm going. I have no power, I have no qualification. Tara Ichha Balavan Pafchayete Tanatan Loe Jaye Gaurangera Naam Prithivite Nagaradi Asamudra Naranari Sakalehi Loe Krishna Naam. He says, Tara Ichha Balavan. It is the desire of my spiritual master which is very strong. And by that desire, Lord Gauranga's name will go in every town and village. It's not that I am going, I am somebody great. Very beautiful, heart-touching prayer he writes. And as he first reveals his relationship with his guru and his mission, how he is dependent on his guru's mercy and he wants to only exclusively serve his spiritual master. And towards the end of the prayer, he writes about his intimate relationship with Krishna. Tomara milane bhai, abhara se sukha pai, gocharane ghuri dina bora, katabane chutta chutti, bane khaye lutta putti, sei dina kabe habe mora. He says, Tomara milane bhai, oh my dear brother Krishna, oh my dear friend, abhara se sukha pai, I want to meet you. You know, in that song he's saying, I'm feeling separation from you, I want to meet you and feel great joy. When will I meet you and gocharane ghuri dinabor? When we will go in the forest of Vrindavan herding cows? When will that time come? And katta banne chutta chutti banne kaye lutta putti. When will we wrestle and frolic on the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan? When will we wrestle and, you know, play and have fun in the forest of Vrindavan? Sei din kabe habe mor. When will that day come back again? This was Srila Prabhupada's absorption in Krishna. He was meditating on how he wants to be with Krishna again. And then in the last, But it's not that it's Sahajiya kind of thing, you know. In the very next stanza he reveals his actual position is he's servant of Krishna. Aji se subidane tumara smarane belo bado asha dakilam tai ami tumar nitya das tai karo ete ash tuma bina anya gati nai. I have no other desire, my dear Krishna. I only want to be your servant. To ami tumar nitya das. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. In great absorption and remembrance of Krishna, he goes to America. This is how he is traveling to America, feeling intense separation, remembering Bharat Bhumi, remembering Radha Govind, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath, remembering Vrindavan and taking shelter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and remembering his intimate relationship with Krishna. He enters Boston Commonwealth Pier. The ship reaches after 1 month. And when he reaches America, this is the first darshan of America Srila Prabhupada is getting. So as he has come to America, and this is night time, he is seeing dazzling lights and he is seeing the beauty of America. Actually then it is actually daytime, then he sees all the wonderful buildings, everything he is seeing. And it's dazzling. And the ship is going through Boston and it's going to New York. It's going to New York, but it's going through Boston. So there, Srila Prabhupada is seeing the beauty of America in its all splendor. So what is Srila Prabhupada's response when he sees this? In all this dazzling light, he is seeing darkness. He is feeling extremely sad seeing this, how people are in ignorance. Srila Prabhupada's vision was completely different from a materialistic. If a materialistic person wants to go to America, if he goes to America, when his first sight of America, he'll feel, wow, you know, when he sees the so-called beauty of America, he'll be ecstatic. Once one devotee was giving Bhagavatam class here, he had come from America. The whole Bhagavatam class is speaking about America, how there is four-lane traffic, how there is this and that. And people are wondering, wow, he's speaking, like, you know, we have not been attracted to Golok Vrindavan as much. As the way he is describing America. Srila Prabhupada is seeing all that beauty, but he is feeling people are suffering. He is feeling compassion. He is feeling sorry. This is a very important point. Because when Srila Prabhupada was in India, and he was staying at Andheri, at this India steamship colony, preparing to go to America, and he was preparing all his things, Sumati Morarji's secretary and few people at the India steamship company office, they would make fun of Srila Prabhupada. They would tell him, Swamiji, we know why you are going to America. Because you are old, you are 70 years old, before dying, once you want to see America. And as they would laugh, Srila Prabhupada would also laugh with them, thinking that, you know, they are joking like that. But Srila Prabhupada had no desire to see America. That was not the desire. He is feeling, oh, they are suffering. When he is seeing all the splendor and beauty and glamour of America, he is feeling, oh, these people are suffering. Actually, this is compassion. And only when you have this compassion, you can preach. Actually, and when you see a billionaire, sometimes we see some big industrialists or big people and we feel, isko preaching karenge. We are excited about preaching to them. No? But pure devotee, when he sees a billionaire or when he sees somebody very famous, glamorous, he doesn't feel, wow, he's coming to temple, you know, now let me preach to him. No, he feels, bechara, karodpati hai. He feels bechara, he feels, sad for him. You know, I need to give him Krishna consciousness. He doesn't feel, wow. That is the pure devotee's mood. Srila Prabhupada's understanding, we should know this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagriti sanyami. Tasyam jagriti bhutani sa nisha pashyato mune. What is night for a materialistic person is a daytime for a pure devotee. And what is day for a pure devotee is night for a materialistic. It's ulta. Srila Prabhupada's vision was different. You know, he was seeing spirit. That's why, this is a very interesting thing. You know, once Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture in Mayapur. Now, Mayapur, who knew at that time? How many of us knew about Mayapur before coming to ISKCON? And Srila Prabhupada is giving class there. And in his hut, there's a small cottage they have made. And this big temple has not come up. And Srila Prabhupada is so happy and is saying, we are in this center of the universe. Most important place in creation, Mayapur. Lord Chaitanya came here. This is his vision. And same Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving lecture in Detroit once, Detroit is a well-known American city. Srila Prabhupada begins his lecture by saying, so We are in this remote corner of the world. So for Srila Prabhupada, America was a remote corner. And Mayapur was the place. So this is a pure devotee's vision. This is his compassion, his feeling. So he's going all the way to America because his Guru Maharaj wants Krishna consciousness to be spread in every town and village of this world. And there in Boston, in the ship, he writes this beautiful bhajan where he's revealing his heart to Krishna and he's expressing his disqualification. And he tells Krishna in that bhajan, Nachao, nachao, Prabhu, nachao se mate, kaste rapu tali tata, nachao se mate. My dear Krishna, make me dance. I am a puppet in your hand. You please make me dance and let me give Krishna consciousness to them. I have no idea. I have no devotion. I don't know what is bhakti. Bhakti nai veda nai namakub daro. Bhakti Vedanta nama ebe sartaka karo. I don't know what is bhakti. I don't know what is Vedanta, but I've got the name Bhakti Vedanta. If you want, you can make this name be fulfilled. The mission of this name should be fulfilled. And he ends this poem by writing a sentence signed, most unfortunate and insignificant beggar. He calls himself as most unfortunate and insignificant beggar in this poem. Look at his humility. Now in the previous, I just described a few minutes before how he was intensely remembering Krishna, Vrindavan, Chaitanya Charitamrita throughout the journey. If somebody who is always remembering Krishna and especially the intimate relationship with Krishna can call himself as insignificant, we hardly remember Krishna and we think we are so important. So, Srila Prabhupada has revealed his heart to his friend and companion Krishna and now this friend and companion is taken over. Srila Prabhupada's preaching in America. So he enters New York Harbor. Now he doesn't know where to enter. Now the ship has come finally to America. He comes out of the ship, out of the harbor. Now he doesn't know whether to turn right or left. That also he doesn't know. And one gentleman is there from a travel company who is supposed to take Srila Prabhupada from the port, from the harbor to the bus. And Srila Prabhupada will now be going to Butler, Pennsylvania, where his host Gopal Agarwal is going to host Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has a 3-month visa to America. So 3 months, who is going to be his host? With whom is he going to stay? Gopal Agarwal. Now this is a very interesting part of the pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Who is this Gopal Agarwal? He has no idea who is Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada is going to his house because when Srila Prabhupada was in India, he met one Mathura businessman and he told him his plans of going abroad. So this Mr. Agarwal was a businessman. He said, my son is in America and he can help you to go to, you know, he can give you papers and all that. He can accommodate you and all that. So no objection certificate. He can give you all those legal things. He can help you. And this pious man, Mr. Agarwal, he would tell many sadhus, he would try to help many sadhus go to America and all that. But nobody actually went. It's not so easy at that time. Like now also, it's not so easy to go to America. So they couldn't, nobody actually took advantage of that facility. But Srila Prabhupada grabbed that offer and immediately worked on the papers. He got everything done and he wrote a letter to, because this businessman gave the address and details to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote to Gopal Agarwal saying, I am coming. And now Gopal Agarwal was shocked. You know, he had sent those papers or sponsor papers to many people, many sadhus. But here was one sadhu who actually was coming and this was none of his doing. He never expected some Swamiji will come to his house. And Prabhupada not only sent a letter saying, I am coming, he also sent his photo so that you can recognize me when I come. I am, you know, like this. So he was shocked and he didn't know what to do. You know, now he's coming. So he told his wife, he had an American wife. Gopal Agarwal had gone to America to study engineering and he got a job there and he got married to an American lady. And they had one daughter, Pamela, who was around three, four years old. And they had just got another child, Braj. So second child was born. So they had 2 children. So they were staying in Butler, Pennsylvania, which was a small town. And Gopal was the only Indian in that town. And suddenly this old Swamiji from India is coming to this town. So Gopal didn't know what to do. So they sent this travel aid person. So this person made Srila Prabhupada sit in the bus. Now this bus was taking Prabhupada from New York to Butler. So it was early morning, around 4:35, for the bus leaves. And as the bus goes to the tunnel, comes out in broad daylight, Srila Prabhupada, as first and experience of America. He sees huge buildings. He sees huge auto industries. He sees huge trucks. He sees a four-lane traffic which has never seen in India, where cars and vehicles are driving at 120 kilometers per hour. The razzle-dazzle and the speed and passion of America is in all its grandeur. In full form, he is able to see everything from that bus. Because Srila Prabhupada had never seen such huge steel towers, never witnessed anything of such magnitude as he is now seeing on his journey from New York to Butler. Srila Prabhupada was earlier, if you see, he is now coming from, he's seeing all this. Why we are describing this? Because we have to understand the background. Srila Prabhupada was seeing Vrindavan. He was in Vrindavan, walking on the road, telling everyone Radhe Radhe. Even now, if you go to Vrindavan, you know, people greet each other as Radhe Radhe. And it's such a beautiful place. And now he's coming to crazy America. For him, for that background, you have to understand. So now he is understanding. Yes, he's now being welcomed to the land of ignorance and passion. So he's entering. And now, actually, this bus ride, this whole thing is so crazy, if you see, in one sense. Because Srila Prabhupada earlier would be in Vrindavan, traveling in ox cart, sometimes walking. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, before going to America, he was in an ox bullock cart going from one place to another place. The bullock cart fell. Prabhupada got up again, sat and again went. Simple, you know, Vrindavan life is very simple. Here vehicles are going at 120 km per hour, full speed and so much. And everywhere, huge boards, signs were there of advertising liquor and meat. And Srila Prabhupada looks at all this and thinks he has come to teach exactly the opposite of this culture. And Srila Prabhupada felt compassion. His compassion is like the compassion of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. In the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says to Lord Narasimha Dev that there are many saintly people who are not interested in cities. They go to the forest. But my dear Lord, I want to be here to bring back all these foolish people. So Srila Prabhupada was not staying in some forest, some Himalayas. He could have stayed in Vrindavan as a Babaji. He was already well known in Radha Damodar temple. Already he had arranged Janmashtami programs where the governor of Uttar Pradesh had come. He had already made good contacts with the Indian Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri. He had met Dr. Radhakrishnan. He was well known to many people, and in Vrindavan also he was known as a respectable Babaji, who was an author of many books. He was already getting a reputation as an author. This was the condition in which Srila Prabhupada left the comfort of Vrindavan. He could have been in his comfort zone. But he left all that and is coming to Gopal Agarwal's small place in Butler, Pennsylvania. And Gopal and his wife are embarrassed. They don't know how to handle this Swamiji. So they don't accommodate Srila Prabhupada in their own house. There is YMCA building. There they make some arrangement. Because now they are facing a real problem. You know, the real problem, see, the problem was not that what they told Srila Prabhupada, you stay here in YMCA building because our house is small. That's a problem, you know, you will not be able to stay. Actually, that was not the problem. The real problem was Srila Prabhupada for them. Because they didn't know how to explain him to their friends. Because they had nice social circuit there and they had. So, what to do, you know? How do we explain him? So, Sally Agarwal was the wife of Gopal. She was a little proactive, smart. So she put an advertisement in the newspaper in Butler. Big. Pehle se bata diya, so that, you know, people don't get bewildered when they see ambassador of Bhakti Yoga. She gave that news so that her friends know that in Gopal and Sally's house, this person is staying. And then Sally Agarwal, she recollects later that she found Prabhupada as a very amazing person. She thought he has not come to make any waves. He's just come to finance some of his books. That was the impression they had. He's not come to do anything sensational in America. He just come finance some books. And they were impressed with Srila Prabhupada. He was very social. He would talk to people. Next time when they would come, Sally and Gopal's friends, he would remember their names. Oh, Mr. James, how are you? And that person would be impressed. This Indian Swamiji knows us. Prabhupada was very, very expert. And she says, Sally Agarwal says, Srila Prabhupada was the easiest guest I ever had in my life. Because he would be chanting very peacefully, happy, and he would be cooking prasad and he would feed everyone. And Sally Agarwal got attached to him. And Prabhupada would open the refrigerator to take vegetables and he would keep his own vegetables there, but he would see there was meat also kept. Sally and Gopal, actually Gopal was from a very pious Mathura family, but now in association with his wife Sally, there was there was meat. And Sally Agarwal, she knew, she treated Prabhupada, she knew, she saw Prabhupada and she saw he is like my father-in-law. She considered him just like her husband's father. So she knew that, oh, he doesn't like, you know, they don't eat meat, all that she knew. So she would be apologetic when she would see that Prabhupada has opened the fridge and is seeing meat. And Prabhupada would say, don't think, no problem, you know, don't think of it. And Prabhupada would be very comfortable. And sometimes, and she was careful not to smoke in front of Prabhupada because she knew she is not supposed to smoke in front of her father-in-law. So she knew some Indian culture, her husband had told her. So she was careful about that. And Srila Prabhupada showed a lot of curiosity about the American culture. He would ask her, what is this vacuum cleaner? He had never seen. And he was very impressed by the laundromat they had there in the supermarket. He had never seen supermarket. So he would ask questions and he would inquire, you know, and he would learn the American ways of living. So Sally found him very a lively person. He's not that he's an old, person who had no interest. No, he was very sharp. Srila Prabhupada was observing everything. And during this time, Pamela, Gopal and Sally's daughter, she had just started going to nursery school. So in the school, they had started teaching her about Jesus Christ. So when she came back, she looked at Prabhupada and she immediately said, Swami Jesus. So for the next whatever time Srila Prabhupada stayed there, every time this girl, small child, she would look at Prabhupada and always call him as Swami Jesus. So like this, Srila Prabhupada stayed in this the comfort of a small Butler town, Butler, Pennsylvania, for 1 month. So now 3 month visa he had, 1 month is over. And Srila Prabhupada says, I'm leaving and I'm going to New York. So both Gopal and Sally are shocked. Now Srila Prabhupada is leaving. As a sannyasi, he had no remorse about leaving the comfort of a nice family. He could have stayed there for another 2 months and enjoyed America. You know, although he inquired so much about the American culture, he was not attached. He was leaving. Why he came here? Why he is now going to New York? He saw himself simply as an instrument in the hands of Krishna. And he had inquired about American life. He had some social circuit there. He met people, made friends. But he was not attached. Just left everything. And when he left, Sally and Gopal actually became emotional. They had actually got attached to Srila Prabhupada in this 1 month. Because Srila Prabhupada not only was a wonderful guest and wonderful, he charmed their hearts. He would also cook prasad for them every day. Because they were eating meat. Srila Prabhupada, that is, he was a great cook. So he would cook nice prasad and give them. And they would be very nourished by that prasad. So then Gopal said, how are you going to New York? Where will you stay? So Srila Prabhupada said, I have one contact in New York. Now, in India, when Srila Prabhupada was there, one sannyasi gave him one contact. Srila Prabhupada said, I may be going to America. He said, I have one friend in New York. So immediately Srila Prabhupada asked, who? Give him the contacts. So he took the contacts details and he kept it with him. And now Gopal Agarwal is telling Gopal Agarwal, I'm going to New York because I have one contact, Dr. Ramamurthy Mishra. I'll go and stay with him. Look at Prabhupada's courage and going to a strange country, just some remote, not even his contact actually. He's never met him, never spoke to him. So Srila Prabhupada takes a bus and from Butler he goes to New York. And stays with Dr. Ramamurthy Mishra, who is a completely opposite person to Srila Prabhupada. Philosophically, he is a Mayavadi. Prabhupada is a Bhakti Yoga teacher. He is a Mayavadi. And personality is a very dramatic person. Dr. Mishra was a doctor by qualification. But he was a yoga teacher. And very dramatic and a showy personality. You know, he would speak about yoga and everything. You know, coat, tie. And he would use very euphemistic words. He would say, lovely, beautiful, wonderful. And he would do interactive sessions and things like that. He would be very charming, young person. So, and Srila Prabhupada is a traditional, you know, in saffron robes, sadhu, chanting Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada knocks him down with his love, cooks prasad for him. That time, Dr. Mishra was going through bad health. Srila Prabhupada stayed with them and cooked nice prasad for him and revived his health. But Dr. Mishra realized this person is a threat because he was also preaching yoga. He also had disciples and followers. So once or twice he told Prabhupada to speak, and Prabhupada spoke Krishna consciousness. So he, after that, Dr. Ramamurthy Mishra would not allow Prabhupada to speak. So he would give class to his disciples and followers, and then in the end he would say, Swamiji, 10 minutes is left, you can do some kirtan. So he allowed Prabhupada to do only kirtan. So Srila Prabhupada would keep quiet because he is a guest there. And Dr. Mishra would give class, and while giving class, Prabhupada would sit in the end, last row. And those people who are spaced out there, they would be also back. So he would talk to them, he would tell them, actually this is bogus, Krishna consciousness is... Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So, and they would get convinced, and they would get attracted. Yeah, God is a person. How can absolute truth be impersonal, formless? Prabhupada would preach to those people. And then in the end, he would do kirtan for a few minutes. Because once Dr. Mishra told him, Swamiji, 5 minutes is there. You can please speak. So Prabhupada spoke for 1 hour. he glorified Krishna. So then they would go in the car to different places. So they would argue philosophically. They would argue like anything. Sometimes they would be shouting. But after some time they would again be friends. Because see, this is the beauty of Vedic culture in India. Sometimes people think, oh, ISKCON philosophy is so different. We should know. The beauty of Vedic culture is, philosophically we may have differences with so many sampradayas. But culturally we are united. If you see, Vedic culture is wonderful. So this philosophical difference is only... Is a strength of our Vedic culture actually. So Srila Prabhupada had those differences, but they were very good friends. In fact, they were so close friends, Srila Prabhupada would ask him openly, Dr. Mishra, you should please help me in my preaching mission. I want to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Please, you are a Sanskrit scholar, please edit my books. He would say, I'm very busy, I have no time. Then Srila Prabhupada would say, see, you are Mishra, you should help me spread Lord Chaitanya's mission, because Lord Chaitanya's father's name was Jagannath Mishra. So you have same name, Mishra. So you are connected to Lord Chaitanya. So Dr. Ramamurthy Mishra was also smart. You know, when Prabhupada gave this logic, he said, no, you don't need my help. You are actually incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. So like that, he would avoid helping Srila Prabhupada. But actually, Dr. Mishra later on, after Prabhupada left this world, he gave actually an interview, and he regretted that he couldn't help Srila Prabhupada. He said, this is one of the things I regret. I should have helped. I should have gone out of my way. So, now, 1 more month goes like this with Dr. Mishra. 2 months out of 3 months gone. Srila Prabhupada realizes his visa is getting over. Now what to do? He has come to America to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. Now he starts writing desperate letters for help to India. Please help me. So he starts writing a lot of letters to Sumati Murarji. And he gets no reply from her. In Butler, when he was at Butler, Sumati Murarji had written a letter to Prabhupada saying that, please do not return to India until you fulfill your mission. Whatever mission you have, you fulfill it and then come. She had expressed a lot of best wishes. So Srila Prabhupada reminds her of her letter, and he says, yes, my mission is, we want to build the biggest Hindu temple. We want to build a big temple in New York glorifying your Lord Bal Krishna. And you will get the glory of being the first Indian to build this temple. So you are a pious Gujarati lady, please help. Let us make a big temple for Krishna in New York. He gets no reply from her. And then he writes a letter to his godbrother Tirtha Maharaj, who is the president of Gaudiya Math. He says, I cannot help you. Then he meets Ramakrishna Mission people in New York, and their leader, Swami Nikhilananda, and understands Indian culture. The response to Indian culture in America. He tries to understand that. And Nikhilananda says, if you want to preach and give your message, you have to be like me. You have to be in pant shirt, coat tie, and you have to adopt American ways. You have to eat with spoon and fork. Prabhupada dismissed all of that. He was not going to compromise the American ways. So then, he writes a letter to Tirtha Maharaj saying, if you want, I am going to stay in America and... extend my visa, otherwise I am returning back to India very soon. He writes 3 letters to Tirtha Maharaj, and he doesn't get any encouragement. These are desperate letters for help. And during this uncertain period, you know what Srila Prabhupada does? He goes on looking for buildings where a big temple can be made. So he meets one Mr. Hartman, who offers him a place at $10,000 per month rent. Prabhupada says, this is too small. Finally, they find a big place with $20,000 down payment you make, and then you get that place. And Srila Prabhupada writes about this building to all his friends in India. Please help, we'll buy this building. And then in one letter to one of his friends, he writes, I'm not getting any encouragement from anyone, but I am not the one to be disappointed. This is a very powerful letter. I am not the one to be disappointed. So finally, after repeated letters to Sumati Murarji, one letter he writes to her point blank. He says, please help me. I want to start a temple in America. And finally he starts. Now the third month is also coming to an end. 3 month visa is coming to an end. Just when it is ending, he extends his visa. His visa was from till November. September, October and November. Now he extends it to February, December to February. 3 more months. So this is the period when no help, alone in America, and December, Jan, Feb is the worst winter of New York. And this year, particularly when Srila Prabhupada went in 65, it was one of the worst winters. And every night Srila Prabhupada would be hearing sirens, police vehicles, sound. And Prabhupada would say, my heart would crack hearing that noise and shouting and screaming in the night, all these people. And he said New York would smell, horrible smell in the New York City. He said it smelled like dog stool, the whole city. And it was minus 15, minus 20 degrees Celsius. So cold. And such uncertain period, no help. And he goes to a New York park in the daytime and he's sitting there. So one conductor, one of the tram, New York tram conductor, Mr. Rubin is also sitting there. And he wonders, who is this old, curious looking, you know, strange looking person? He understands he's some monk in saffron robes. He asks him, who are you? And, you know, what are you doing here in this New York? He was a subway conductor and he sees an old Swami in a park. Prabhupada is sitting alone chanting. Prabhupada tells him about himself and he says, we have many temples all over the world. We have many books. We have many people chanting Hare Krishna. So Ruben is wondering, but he looks lonely, he looks alone, yes, you know. And Srila Prabhupada says, time is separating us. And he kept saying we because Nirandan Maharaj once gave a nice purport. Prabhupada would always say we. Even in his purports, he wouldn't say I. He would always say, we are going here. We have written so many books. Because Prabhupada is always conscious that he is not alone. The whole parampara is with him. He was very conscious of his spiritual master. Therefore, he would always write we. So to Mr. Rubin also he kept saying, we have many temples, we are we. You know, he was a we person, not I. I language is bad language. We language is a teamwork, no? Like that. So Prabhupada is remembering the whole parampara's mercy, and that way he tells. So that time during this period, look at Prabhupada, no encouragement, no support, and this Dr. Mishra is also not encouraging him. So he's alone, and the only happiness, you know, he was getting was he would go to this New York Central Library, because in India he had given Bhagavatam sets to the American embassy. And they had transferred these books to New York Central Library. So in their catalog, you would go and see, oh, my books are here, Bhagavatam is here. And some people have sometimes issued it. So he feels happy, oh, there is demand for Krishna consciousness in America. There is demand. You would see hope from that. And there was one bookshop where his Bhagavatam was kept and nobody was buying those books. But that lady who had that shop, Prabhupada would go and meet her every few days. How are you? How are my books going? And she would say, nobody is buying. And while talking, she mentioned about Indian culture and how she likes samosas. So next day, Prabhupada cooked nice samosas for her and bought. She was very touched. Srila Prabhupada was very sensitive, understanding. And despite no encouragement from India, he kept seeing different buildings for a big temple. So then, this Mr. Hartman, he had told him, $27 down payment, I will arrange. You keep that building for me. You know, I am getting the money very soon. During this time, Lal Bahadur Shastri dies in India during Jan, Feb, 1966 time. But then Srila Prabhupada talks to Hartman and says, see, I was hoping that Lal Bahadur Shastri, Prime Minister, will help because I was writing letters to him. I was in the process of writing a letter to him asking for money. Now he's died, so now I cannot arrange this money. And anyway, you see, your building nobody is using. So you give it to me and you can save taxes also and you become the president of our society. But give me this building. He wants to start Krishna consciousness here. Of course, he refused because he couldn't. He was demanding $20,000 and Srila Prabhupada was so desperate to preach in New York that he wanted that building free at that point of time. So finally he said, now I want this building. So you know what he did? He wrote a letter to Padampas Singhania, the very famous industrialist owner of the JK company. And he, Padampas Singhania, showed interest. So now they started corresponding letters, desperate letters Srila Prabhupada is writing. So Padampas Singhania says, yes, this is a nice place. You take it. But there are two problems I am having in helping you. One is the foreign exchange. That time foreign exchange controls are very rigid. He says, how are we going to arrange transfer of so much money for building a temple? And secondly, this temple which you are going to have, Krishna temple in New York, should be Indian architecture. Exclusively it should be Indian architecture. Srila Prabhupada said, no, let us first buy the house. You know, and then let us put a dome on top. In that letters he is writing like that. Let us put a dome and let us first become a temple and then future we can do that. But he says, no. Even right in the beginning we should have an Indian architecture. That this was the details they were having discussion on. So Srila Prabhupada resolved this confusion with a very beautiful letter. He writes to him, Mr. Singhania ji, you have so much love for Krishna that you want to have a grand Indian architecture style temple for Krishna. This is the mood of Dwarka. Whereas I am from Vrindavan, little spontaneous. We want to just start Krishna worship first. So you are Dwarka wala, I am Vrindavan wala. So let us cooperate. Let Dwarka wala and Vrindavan wala cooperate so that Krishna worship goes on in a wonderful way. But Padampas Singhania is not interested. He is very rigid because he wants, because full Indian architecture style means so many laborers will be needed. You know, so much of money will be needed. But Srila Prabhupada was wanting a very, to begin with, less hassles. You know, let us get the place first. So it's not possible. Padampas Singhania stops corresponding with Srila Prabhupada. Although Srila Prabhupada very sweetly tells him, let us get the place first. But then Prabhupada tells him, okay, we'll follow your mood, you know, architectural style. Please send some people then to help me build this temple. You know, you need people. Prabhupada doesn't have people there. So then now Padampas Singhania is not able to arrange people to come and help him. So he starts talking to the president of India, Dr. Radhakrishnan. He writes letters to him. And finally, he writes one letter to his godbrother, Tirth Maharaj, and says, please know that I have not come to America for sightseeing. I have come here simply to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. So there is complete discouragement from all quarters. Finally, Mumbai, he had put his books in Universal Book House. Srila Prabhupada was staying here near Grant Road for a long time, near Nana Chowk, you know, near there was a Gaudiya Mutt there. Prabhupada would stay there for a long time. He was also staying at Gwalia Tank for a long time. He would go to Jain College, he would give books there. His books are that at Universal Book House also. For this book house person wrote letter to Prabhupada saying that none of your books are going. We are not, only 6 books have been sold in the last so many months. So you're not going to keep. Finally, desperately, Srila Prabhupada wrote one letter to Indira Gandhi, who was the new Prime Minister of India, telling her all his plans for spreading Krishna consciousness. And she also corresponded. She wrote a letter back to him saying, it will not be possible to help you. Then Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to one of his friends saying that, I am waiting every day for at least one favorable reply from at least one person from India. And then to Sumati Muraji writes a final letter saying, in this old age, when I am about to die, I have not come to America for sightseeing. Please help me. And then to Sumati Muraji says, even if you can't help me, please know that Krishna consciousness will spread in America. And we are going to have a big temple in America. We are going to have many followers. We are going to have many Americans who will become devotees. And when they become devotees, I request you, Sumati Murarji, please allow them free passage on your India steamship company. Let them come to India for darshan of all the temples in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada was convinced of future success. Look at his positive attitude. This is amazing. It's mind-blowing actually. How can somebody be so positive and confident with so much of heart attack, health failing, no support? So, no reply. And even Padampas Singhania's secretary replies by saying, we are not interested in this preaching and this temple building in New York. So one may think, oh, all this is a failure and all this is a setback. Srila Prabhupada says, actually, it was a success. Why? Srila Prabhupada says, during that period, in one conversation, he says, I was living in New York with complete uncertainty, but I was not in New York Manhattan. I was not in Manhattan consciousness. I was in Vrindavan consciousness. Because Srila Prabhupada says, I was doing three things every day. I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and writing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Secondly, I was cooking and offering food to Krishna and taking prasad. And thirdly, I was speaking on Bhagavad Gita to whomever I met. So I was remembering Krishna. Although no one in New York City took him seriously, he was feeling complete happiness because he was remembering Krishna. So we may go through our ups and downs in life. Material energy is not going to support all our plans. So we may feel very despondent. We should know if we remember Krishna, we can always be happy. Now look at the situation Srila Prabhupada is in. Such uncertainty, no help, no support. He tells Dr. Mishra, I am leaving you. I am going to take another room, room number 302 on rent. I am going to stay there. And they are charging $72 rent. And Dr. Mishra says, but you have nothing, no support, no money. How will you pay $72 every month and stay in this room? He says, I'll sell my books and I'll take this one place. Why Prabhupada left Dr. Mishra and took a place on rent? Because he wanted his own place where he could preach. Now he has no guaranteed income. And minus 25 degrees Celsius, very cold, physically uncomfortable. And he takes this place because he was now free to preach. Now he had no constraints of Dr. Mishra or the middle class sensibilities of Butler, Pennsylvania, Gopal Agarwal's place, New York, no problem. Because he didn't want to just give one-time lecture. He wanted a place where people can regularly come every day and he can cultivate them. So he took this place, $72 rent. And was this place good? It was not at all. It was so bad, such a horrible place, dirty place, that even those who are spiritually inclined would not come there. Prabhupada said it was like a train cabin. It was rugless, dirty. And he began alone. How he began his preaching? He would keep his room open and he would keep a tape recorder, start the recording, and then when the recording starts, he would sing bhajan and give class and speak on Bhagavad Gita. The introduction to Bhagavad Gita was also spoken in that. And who is in the audience? Brahma, Narada, Shiva, all the demigods. They were the only audience. Because Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur had said, even if nobody is interested, preach to the four walls. So Srila Prabhupada was preaching to the four walls. And the first audience who came to his classes were the students of Dr. Mishra. You know, they would come. And if you hear those lectures, they are high-pitched, earnest, persuading. There's a lot of urgency in his tone. He's desperately talking about Krishna consciousness. Long lectures, 1.5-2 hours, and very fast. He's speaking with a desperate appeal. And in the class, one man is reading newspaper. You know, Americans have no respect for, like, they don't know who is Prabhupada, who is a Bhagavad person, Bhagavad, he's written Bhagavatam. They have no idea about Bhagavatam and Vedic culture. So Prabhupada is speaking, 5-6 people are there in class, and this man is reading his own book. This is not the kind of response you give to a Bhagavad speaker in India. So Srila Prabhupada tells him in the middle of the class, please hear me. No, that's an appeal. Please hear me. This man says, Yeah, go on, I'm listening. He doesn't care, you know. Srila Prabhupada is actually begging for attention. He was trying desperately to convince people of Krishna consciousness. So he starts telling them about Krishna consciousness. He tells them about Indian culture, tells about sacred thread, Brahman thread. So for these people, they are very new, and for them it's exotic Indian culture. He talks about Indian marriages. But a careful listener of these classes can grasp the greater context or the greater the urgency in which Srila Prabhupada is speaking. He was speaking a heavy topic about spiritual master. He was speaking all these concepts because he wanted to give Krishna. He speaks, Shishyaste ham shadimam tvam prapannam. And he says that and he stops and he realizes, nobody has ever heard Sanskrit word before. And they are just looking at him blankly. They have no idea. And the old people have started coming, some old people. So, and he tries to help them relate to Krishna consciousness. He says, material world is suffering. And he tells them, see, for example, snow, so much snow, you are so inconvenienced. He gives examples from their day-to-day life, New York life, so that they can understand. And then he says, so you please start process of chanting Hare Krishna. You know Krishna? And then suddenly he realizes nobody has heard of Krishna. They have no idea what is Krishna. And he just is shocked. He says, you don't know Krishna? Krishna? Now in India, even if you're not a Hindu, everyone knows Krishna. From childhood we have heard. But here are people who have never heard the word Krishna, and this is the first time Srila Prabhupada is telling them, you know Krishna. You have seen Krishna's photo? Krishna's picture? Krishna's painting? You have read any? They are like, they have no idea. And you can see Prabhupada's voice fades. And it's like, what is he doing? He is telling them about a personality. These people can't just relate. And then people are just listening, and then he says, Vrindavan is a very sacred place. So one lady, one old lady sitting, oh yeah, secret, secret, right? Prabhupada says, sacred. Secret, a lot of magnetic energy is there in secret places. So she's talking all vague, you know, they have no idea about what is dham. Prabhupada is trying to give them dham, the holy place of Vrindavan. Finally, in the middle of the class, Srila Prabhupada says, my heart is not here. So people in the class, they start laughing. Srila Prabhupada says, I am not happy here. And that woman says, yeah, I know. One old lady says, yeah, I know. Srila Prabhupada says, I will be very happy if I return to my Vrindavan. But I will not go back to Vrindavan. I will stay here. I will preach Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said, I have a lot of difficulties here, but my Guru Maharaj has ordered me. So this is duty. Vrindavan, then Prabhupada says, Vrindavan will be very good for my personal convenience. Very comfortable. I have no anxiety in Vrindavan. But I am taking this risk because I am duty bound to serve my Guru. So in this whole crowd, elderly, spaced out crowd, one boy comes, Robert Nelson. And he wants to help Prabhupada, but he's very dull. He's a country boy, he's a loner, unemployed, he has no money. He can't give any of the four. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, give. Praner arter dhya vacha. Give your life to Krishna. If you can't give, give money to Krishna. Or give, at least speak about Krishna. Like that, you know. He couldn't do any of these things. He was dull, he had no money, he couldn't speak properly. But Srila Prabhupada saw he's interested. And Prabhupada gave the whole Krishna consciousness to him. Every day Prabhupada would cook for him. You know, they would sleep together, and Prabhupada, as they would be sleeping, Prabhupada would speak whole Gaur Lila to him. And he would hear, he was very positive. He would keep telling Prabhupada, yes, Swamiji, I will do a record business, I will earn billions of dollars, then I'll give you. Prabhupada would say, okay. And you know, Prabhupada would encourage him. Prabhupada is so smart. Prabhupada has lived, done business. He knows this boy has no capacity. He can't do anything. But just because he has said, I want to help, and he's interested in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada starts glorifying Lord Chaitanya so much to him. So then he says, Swamiji, I've seen some building we can buy. Come. So they go. So he starts showing, you know, this building is good. So they say one building which costs $1,000 rent. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada is paying $72 now. And this $1,000 rent building, Prabhupada says, this is too small. We need a bigger place. Then they see a place which has $5,000 rent. That also is not much. Then they see a $10,000 building. Finally, Prabhupada says, I think we should buy a big building. So this boy, Robert Manchin, I saw a nice building. So he takes him to Hotel Columbia suite. So we have a huge place. Prabhupada says, this is a nice place. We can have Brahmachari Ashram upstairs. We can have temple all here. So Prabhupada is giving all his plans, how they are going to have Krishna consciousness here. So this boy has no idea, but look at the super confidence he has, and Prabhupada is encouraging him. Prabhupada is supremely confident because of his confidence in Krishna. This boy is confident because he is spaced out. He has no idea. He has no idea what he is saying. Prabhupada is complete on a transcendental platform, but he is accommodating him, giving him Krishna consciousness. So, like this, for some time he keeps coming. Then another boy comes, Harvey Cohen. Then Bill Epstein, he was working in a Paradox restaurant. He would come every day, and he got attracted to Swamiji. What he would do, he thought, you know, when you like someone, you should give them something. So he would get food from his hotel. Now you can imagine what New York restaurant, what they must be cooking. But he would get nice food, according to him, what is nice. And he would pack it up and he would get for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada didn't say, you know, hotel khana and horrible and New York. Kya kya rahega usme? What all will be there? Prabhupada would happily thank you. He would say thank you and he would accept that. And Bill Epstein later says, Always he accepted, but of course I never saw him eating what I gave him. He would accept, and I don't know what, we don't know what Prabhupada did, but Prabhupada encouraged him to come for the program by just accepting whatever he gave. So now Prabhupada was happy because this was a contrast to the earlier crowd. Earlier old people were coming, now younger people are coming. So then this boy start telling him, Swamiji, you know, you are staying in this room, it's such a horrible place. Why don't you come to Bauri, our place? You know, they were staying on the Lower East Side, and it was like actually worse than where Prabhupada was staying. Srila Prabhupada says, yeah, he's waiting for Krishna to reveal to him what to do. Should he go to that new place or not? During this period, his room at room number 302 where he was staying gets burglarized. His tape recorder is stolen. And then he realizes this is Krishna indicating that I should go to a new place. So he starts listening to these boys and goes to Bauri. Now this was the most illogical thing to do, materially. Because Bauri was 100 times worse than this new place. Because the owner of this place was giving this room to Prabhupada. Now, he was giving it because that place was so bad and he was so miserable living there that he was leaving not only that place and town, he was leaving the city. He was going to San Francisco. That man was so horrified by staying in Bauri, so he is giving this place to Prabhupada to stay. So it's like from frying pan to fire, you know, from a bad place, Prabhupada is coming to a worse place. Like if somebody says, you know, from village, somebody is in village like Nanded or Jalgaon, and if he says, this village is very passionate, you know, let me go to Mumbai. Mumbai is more peaceful. If somebody says like that, you will think crazy. So Prabhupada is going to the most degraded place, but he is in this consciousness, Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu. Kastera Putali, Nachao. I am a puppet. So he wants to spread Krishna consciousness. He comes to Bauri, which the average murder rate there was 5 times greater than the national average of America. People are living in the gutters there. And this room Prabhupada got in Bauri on the 4th floor of a building. And 10,000 bums would be there on the streets every day in Bauri. They would be urinating and squatting on the street, gutters, living there, sleeping there. But whenever Prabhupada would come, they would become grave and they would respect him. And they would allow him to walk. And they had some, Prabhupada had that, Prabhupada attracted that, commanded that respect. So there, now this is the best thing I liked, you know, when I was reading this. Srila Prabhupada writes a letter to his friend from Bauri. He describes the whole thing, how Bauri is. And then he says, but everywhere is my home. He says, everywhere is my home because I am remembering Krishna here. See, without Krishna's shelter and remembrance of Krishna, you may be in the best temple, but that could be a most desolate place for you. But Srila Prabhupada, remembering Krishna, so Bauri, he was finding like Vrindavan. And Prabhupada had the potency to convert this place into a spiritual place. Bhavadvida Bhagavati Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Svantasthena Gadabhruta. Yudhishthira Maharaj says that a pure devotee, person Bhagavat is a holy place. Bhavadvida Bhagavati Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho. A pure devotee is Tirtha place. You may think place is a land. How can a person be place, holy place? He says, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, because a holy person, a pure devotee has the ability to convert an ordinary place into a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, a pure devotee is place of pilgrimage, because he can convert an ordinary place into a place of pilgrimage. Why he can convert an ordinary place into a place of pilgrimage? Svantasthena Gadabhruta, because in his heart he is carrying Krishna. Because in his heart there is Krishna, wherever he goes, he makes that place into a spiritual place. That's why if you see our devotees, you know, when they go to America, they all go to New York and they take photo of that place where Prabhupada stayed, that tree where Prabhupada did Kirtan, and they get it back. It's like, for them, it's like going to holy place. There are devotees from India who, when they go to America, New York, they go there. And I remember first time Gaurang Prabhu and Govind Prabhu went, you know, they took photo under that tree where Prabhupada did Kirtan and they bought it. So Prabhupada made New York into a place of pilgrimage. So here, when Prabhupada is staying, so Robert Nelson, remember I spoke about him? Very dull boy. He stops coming to program. Very dull. Lazy kind of person. He couldn't do anything. He stops coming. But who starts coming? David Allen. He was crazy. He was other extreme. He was wild. But Prabhupada gives him also Krishna consciousness. And then many other boys start coming. One day, David Allen used to take a lot of drugs. Prabhupada would tell him, stop this, stop this. But he would not listen. But he was interested in Krishna consciousness also. One day, he goes mad. He attacks Prabhupada in the room. So Prabhupada's life is in danger. Prabhupada immediately climbs the four stories down. He comes down. He's on the street. And David Allen is screaming, yelling, throwing things in the room. He goes mad, actually mad. And Prabhupada is on the street of New York and suddenly realizes, I have nothing. I'm alone now. Who am I? Nothing. He has nothing in New York. No place, no people. And then he looks at the Bowery's. At least they have some place to stay. They belong to New York. Prabhupada has nothing in New York. He's on the street. So, but he's seeing Krishna. So he knows that one boy was coming, Michael Grant. He is now today Mukunda Maharaj. So he, Michael Grant, Prabhupada goes to him. And he and his other friends, they arrange accommodation, temporary accommodation for Prabhupada in one person's house. Carl and his girlfriend Eva. So he stays, Prabhupada stays in them, in the small, they have a small room where the television is on 24 hours, where she has cats and dogs as pets. And all the whole room is completely dirty. They have not taken bath for weeks. The clothes are not washed. In that small room, they accommodate Prabhupada. And Eva is afraid because she feels this Swamiji will take away my boyfriend. And she was a strong feminist. She was aware of Prabhupada as an orthodox traditional person. So she didn't want, she was not happy with this old man staying with two of them. This is the condition in which Prabhupada was living. And there was no way of going back to that room because David Allen was going crazy. So finally, Prabhupada leaves Carl and Eva's place also. So look at the places he's changing. First, Butler, Pennsylvania. Then, Dr. Mishra's yoga studio. Then, room number 302. Then, Bowery. Then, Carl and Eva. Then Michael Grant and others tell him, please come to 22nd Avenue. That is the sixth place where Srila Prabhupada takes New York. Sixth place he goes after coming to America. And in those classes he starts speaking about dovetailing your consciousness in service of Krishna. Now this consciousness word was very popular during that time in America amongst hippies because they used to always talk about cosmic consciousness. Now, these words are very popular or altering the state of consciousness. And Prabhupada was talking about dovetailing your consciousness. So this was like cool for them. Oh, this made sense to them. And Prabhupada would speak. And they realized, all these hippies, they were realizing that Srila Prabhupada was the only one who actually loved them. Most of these hippies were rejected by the American society. And here, Prabhupada would chant Hare Krishna in this 22nd Avenue place which he got. And people would come, Howard, Keith, Wally, Chuck, Steve, Bruce, they all eventually became, Bruce became Brahmananda, Chuck Achyutananda, Greg Gargamuni, Howard became Hayagriva, Steve, Satswarup, Wally became Umapati. So they all started coming one by one. So one Prabhupada was walking on the road in 26 seconds. He put up a board outside his room saying, Bhagavad Gita classes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So Steve was working in a social welfare office and he saw that and he became attracted and he started coming. And once Prabhupada was walking on the street, Howard was an English professor, scholar. He was walking on the street and he had recently come back from India. And he looked at Swamiji and he said, oh, you are from India? Prabhupada said, yes. And are you also from India? He said, no, I am from America. And Prabhupada said, I have these classes going on here. Why don't you come? Get your friends also. So Howard went and told his friends, Wally and Chuck, and they agreed, so they started coming. Suddenly, in 22nd Avenue, all these young boys started coming, and Prabhupada would do kirtan. Now, they didn't know what is holy name. They didn't know holy name is not different from Krishna. They came for these programs with psychedelic ambitions, with ambitions of seeing some light coming out from somewhere, with some suddenly flying in the air. These are the kind of idea they had about spiritual life, that it will happen suddenly. You know, this was the kind of consciousness they had. And here Prabhupada is telling them about Hare Krishna. And they didn't have proper discipline or reverence or respect for a sadhu. And Srila Prabhupada does his classes. And during this time, Prabhupada is intense. He would sleep hardly 3-4 hours of rest he would take. And whole day he would be preaching, talking to people. Sometimes he would talk while giving class and talking, answering questions, you would, you know, that was his rest. You would just take rest. You had no time to take rest also. Cooking. You would cook a feast every day for all these boys who would come. Big feast, serve them, they would take food and they would go back, and then Prabhupada would clean the whole place. Every day he was doing this. So one person asked during that time, Swamiji, how is your health? You are 71 years old. How is your health? So Prabhupada was so blissful. You know, he was eating nice prasad that time. He was healthy. Prabhupada just took his hand, palm, and tapped it on his stomach. And he said, oh, see, nice sound is coming. So he said, yeah, I'm healthy, you know. So he was very enthusiastic. And that time, he would chant Hare Krishna and he would tell them. So people would look at him and some people started calling him as Swami Buddha. They found him very regal, royal. And during that, when he was staying at Bauri, there was a sniper who would stay in his room and shoot at people. Kabir's dimag, you know, anything he just goes crazy, he just starts shooting anyone. So crazy people are staying there. So when he came to 22nd Avenue, one of these boys asked, Swamiji, how could you stay in Bauri? Bauri is the worst place in America. And that sniper, were you not afraid of those crazy bums and those crazy people? Prabhupada said, no, I'm not afraid. I'm Calcutta man. I grew up in Calcutta. I'm very tough. Nothing can scare me. So then like this, Srila Prabhupada stayed there. So a lot of pastimes took place in New York. We don't have so much time. So we would conclude by discussing how Srila Prabhupada established, this is how we entered New York and this is how we established ISKCON in these circumstances. And the initiation took place. There are so many pastimes. Once, you know, they were doing Kirtan. So Bruce came and said, we'll have a record. We'll do a recording. So they went to a recording studio. So there, the whole night went in recording till 11:30. For the studio engineer was asking Prabhupada again and again, are you tired? Are you tired? Do you need rest? No. Let us chant the holy name. So they chanted the holy name. They did the recording. Finally, when that recording was played, spontaneously Prabhupada got up and started dancing. He was so attracted to the holy name. And then that night when Prabhupada took rest, he had chest pain. And devotees thought that his health is deteriorating. And morning, everybody was tense. Prabhupada's health is very bad. So when Prabhupada came for lunch prasad, he was taking prasad. Devotees were thinking, who will ask Prabhupada about his health? And before they could ask, Srila Prabhupada said, why only New York? We should spread Krishna consciousness in all over the world. So devotees are shocked that instead of thinking of his health, they were all thinking of his health because they were thinking he also must be quiet because he's in pain. But Prabhupada was quiet because he was meditating on how Krishna consciousness can spread in San Francisco, Montreal. So he sent Mukunda. Now Michael Grant had become Mukunda. His wife Jan had become Janki. And then from San Francisco they wrote a letter. Swamiji, come here. We have arranged a rock concert for you. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I am coming. So these New York disciples were wondering, you know, they thought Swamiji will never leave this New York. Swamiji was a small society and Prabhupada established International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York. People are wondering, what is this international society? I was a small town, small city, and Prabhupada will be with us only. But Prabhupada was not attached to Butler, Pennsylvania, or New York, or Ramurti Mishra. He was interested in spreading Krishna consciousness in every town and village of this world. So one fine day he said, I'm going to San Francisco, which is on the other side of America from New York. Complete West Coast, pura. And he said, I'm going. And devotees were shocked. And he actually left. And he went to San Francisco and did mantra rock dance concert. He went there and did Hare Krishna chanting. And he had taken 2-3 devotees with him, brahmacharis. And after the rock concert, he said, no, brahmachari should come here. So like that, he spread. And then the first sankirtan which happened in New York is a very important incident. One day, this happened. The first kirtan, public kirtan of Hare Krishna was held in Washington Square Park in New York. This was a Sunday afternoon. Srila Prabhupada saw that these disciples were organizing lectures for Prabhupada in big, big halls and auditoriums. And 4 or 5 people were coming. Prabhupada said, go to the park. Park is free of cost. And chant Hare Krishna there. So one day he said, told his students, Keith, Howard, today we will do kirtan in the park. They were shocked because they had never done kirtan outside that room. 22nd Avenue. In the park, Swamiji, nobody goes to park for, we were chanting and dancing in the park. Now, Nobody, no sadhu from India had ever gone to America, had never performed Sankirtan. Prabhupada said, don't worry, you will enjoy it. Come. They were very scared and Prabhupada was walking. And they all were very nervously following Srila Prabhupada. What is Prabhupada going to do today? Swamiji is going to do Kirtan in the park? Nobody has ever done it in the history of America. It doesn't happen in America like that. Prabhupada said, no, don't worry, nothing will happen. They went. So he sat in the park and started playing Kartal and everybody is sitting and they are awkward. There's an awkwardness amongst all of them. Because nobody has done Kirtan. See, I don't know. First time when I came to ISKCON also, I think most of us, you know, we have not heard of a spiritual path where there is dancing and chanting. And even if there is, we have not heard of chanting and dancing in the streets. In the name of spirituality. I remember the first Kirtan, you know, it was so awkward. Every Sunday after Sunday feast, there would be Nagar Sankirtan that time. And it was so embarrassing and uncomfortable for me. You know, I would be going with people and they would be dancing on the road suddenly. The Kirtan would go fast. So this, I could appreciate what these boys were feeling with Prabhupada. They were feeling, how can we dance? Before coming to ISKCON, you know, I used to go to a spiritual organization where they used to tell us to talk to trees. So I used to ask them, it's very embarrassing. They used to say, don't feel shy, just talk to trees. I used to talk to trees. And it was so embarrassing what people think. So then after coming to Hare Krishna, we went on a Kirtan and I was, you know, after a few days I was dancing. So one devotee said, you are not feeling shy or something. You are just dancing. I said, you don't know what I was doing before coming. Compared to that, this is nothing. So chanting and dancing is not something which we are now so accustomed to it. You know, we enjoy it. But those boys were not feeling a little awkward. And there Prabhupada says, and they start the Kirtan, the policemen come. Who is in charge here? And they all look at Prabhupada because Prabhupada is the one who told them to come to the park. Prabhupada looks at him. You know, Prabhupada is very regal, grave. Yes, and the policeman says, you're not, because there is a big board there which said, keep off the grass. You're not supposed to sit on the park like that. And the policeman tells Prabhupada, can't see that board? Prabhupada says, keep off the grass. So he gets up. So that park was like this. There was grass. Just outside the grass was the pavement. Prabhupada just comes out, just one step out and he sits on the pavement. And he starts Kirtan. Now the policeman is bewildered. He can't do anything. So then Prabhupada starts Kirtan and all of them are looking at each other, nervous. And then slowly, slowly the Kirtan becomes fast. And then they all stand up, start dancing. So Prabhupada has broken the American silence. He has actually given the holy name. And then it becomes a sensation. And after the Kirtan, as Prabhupada walks back to his storefront, lot of people follow and they all come to. That's how he attracted a lot of young boys and girls to Krishna consciousness. Like Pied Piper of Hamelin, we had a story in our school. You know, he would play his pipe and all these children came, the rats came, like that. Prabhupada would do Kirtan and he would attract all these followers. And that's how Krishna consciousness spread in New York. And from New York, Prabhupada went to San Francisco. And from there, he trained his disciples. And that's how Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. So there's a lot of more pastimes we can discuss some other time. So on this most auspicious occasion when Srila Prabhupada entered America, we can offer sincere prayers of gratitude that through so much of sacrifice, so much of struggle. See, when that letters came of discouragement and no support, Prabhupada concluded that I am not going to get any help from India. He concluded. So he was now focusing on the American youth. And all these boys, Howard, Keith, Mike, they took up one challenge after another. And then they went to Montreal, London, and they spread. So what these pious Martha Brahmins of India, who are so-called protectors of Vedic Dharma, what they could not do, Srila Prabhupada did with the help of all his Western disciples. And what were these Western disciples doing? They were spreading the culture of India. The Vedic culture, Krishna conscious culture. So like this, Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. But Srila Prabhupada never lost confidence that Krishna consciousness will not be spread. He was fully confident, that fully positive. So we have to be very grateful that because of Srila Prabhupada's tremendous faith and conviction, today we are able to chant Hare Krishna. Our lives have been saved. So let us express our profuse gratitude to Srila Prabhupada by taking up to the process seriously and not just being a ritualistic devotee who has some, just like there are people who are members of Lions Club, social, so many clubs are there in which we are members. This is not some kind of a club or some kind of a social gathering. This is a place where we dedicate our lives, you know, we increase our commitment by chanting rounds more, by taking up more responsibilities, challenges for Srila Prabhupada's mission. This is the way we express our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. So let us do that by increasing our commitment for chanting, because this material world is suffering, whether you are a devotee or not. You have to go through a lot of suffering. So let us do some serious service for Krishna, show our sincerity, and go back to Krishna after we end this life. So on this most auspicious occasion, I would like to thank the authorities for giving me a chance to glorify Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.